Hi, I'm Femi OK. Today on the stream, Afghans reflect on the first anniversary of the Taliban regaining power. How have people's lives changed in Afghanistan? That is the question that we will be discussing with our panel. You can be part of that discussion as well. Join us right here in the comments section of YouTube. We start our discussion with Samira Rahman.
Afghanistan is facing crisis after crisis. We have rising hunger, crumbling public services, outbreaks, the devastating earthquake just months ago. We have increased restrictions on women and girls. And now, just this week, we've had 10 provinces that have been affected by flash flooding, destroying homes, farms, and livelihoods. All of this comes at a time when the economy is crippled. People are struggling, people have no jobs, no money, and increasingly no food, and are absolutely drowning in debt.
That is one perspective on the past year in Afghanistan. You're about to hear three more from Suhail, Pashtana and Ali. Welcome all three of you to the stream. Suhail, welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself to our global audience. Good to have you.
Yes. My name is Mohammed Suhail Shaheen. I'm nominated permanent representative of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan to the United Nations. And currently, I am working as head of the political office in Doha.
Pashtana, good to have you back on the stream. Please remind our audience who you are and what you do.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. My name is Pashtana Durrani. I am the executive director of Learn Afghanistan, and currently I'm a visiting fellow at Wellesley Women's Center at Wellesley College.
And Ali, please say hello to our audience around the world.
I'm Ali Latifi. I'm Al Jazeera's correspondent in Kabul.
I am going to start, yes, with a exclusive clip of what happened in the presidential palace in Afghanistan almost a year to today. Let's have a listen. Let's have a look.
What you are looking at right now is Taliban fighters inside the presidential palace. This is these pictures exclusive on Al Jazeera. Taliban fighters placing their guns on the desk, sitting behind the desk of, we assume that is the desk of the Afghan president. A fairly stunning turnaround of events.
Ali, what do you remember from that day, about that day?
I mean, it's a day that our entire world changed within a few hours. I remember that late in the morning, there was the sound of gunshots near where I live, and everyone thought that the Taliban were coming then, and everyone was running like it was a disaster movie. You know, everyone was just trying to get back to their homes, and then, you know, people basically shut themselves in their houses for the rest of the day. And then all of a sudden came the news that the former president just ran away. He just fled. And he took his, you know, high-level cabinet officials, his advisors, whatnot, with him, most of whom had foreign passports. You know, there was no message. There was nothing for 11 days as the Taliban was taking province after province after province. No one from the former government bothered to give any kind of a statement. No one said, we're sorry. No one said, we failed. No one said, we're trying to gain these provinces back. And then all of a sudden, you know, this was probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night, you turn on the news and there's the Taliban in the presidential palace.
So when you see those pictures, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Was this an incredible sense of triumph and victory for the Taliban?
Yes, it was indeed. It was the result of our 20 years sacrifices, our struggle for liberation of our country from the occupation. So this was our legitimate right. Everyone has the right to have independence, to live in an independent country. This was our right to struggle for liberation of our country, and we gained that after 22 decades, almost 20 years, and a lot of losses and sacrifices and equipment and soul, both of male, women, and children, elderly of Afghanistan.
I'm wondering, 1 year later, in retrospect, is fighting easier than governing?
Well, that was a different phase. We were struggling for liberation of our country. Now we are struggling for rebuilding our country, for maintaining peace and stability in the country. This is also a struggle for us. And we are still facing
sanctions. How did the country get destroyed?
From the most country who are politically motivated. So we will succeed, and we have succeeded in this 1 year. The mega project of Kushtepe. On the completion of this project, we will bring under irrigation 3 million acres of land, and Afghanistan will become self-reliant in terms of food. That has not been done in 20 years, while we are bringing it with empty hands.
Let me bring in.
So there are other examples, the Kajiki Day.
Let me bring in a few more voices.
Completed that.
Sahil, let me bring in a few more voices to share the conversation.
Yes.
This is Rateb Noori. Pashtana, I want you to have a listen to Rateb and then bounce off the back of him, because for Rateb, this 1 year has been a horrible anniversary. I'm interested in your perspective, but here's Rateb first of all.
15th of August 2021 was the worst day in my life. It was a loss of everything, a reverse of every single gain we had in past two decades. And it took away my country from me, it uprooted me, and it took away my family, and now we are dispersed around the world. And I don't think the life is going to be the same ever. And it's really difficult to go back to Afghanistan and live there as a journalist and be free to work in my profession.
Well, allow me to start by correcting the fact that we didn't have gains because the Westerners were in our country for the past two decades. We had rights way before that. We had rights in the 60s and the 20s and including up until the 80s. And then people took over. That's the first thing. We had in the 1960s a women health minister. And then in the 1920s, we had an education minister. We had women representatives. We had women in school in the past century. These are all gains. And the West has never helped us get those gains. We went there and got them by ourselves, and our women got them for ourselves. Those are the first thing that we need to understand. Women have been in Afghanistan's leadership in the ancient Afghanistan, starting from Gawhar Shah up until Soraya, and then even in the 1960s with Minister Norzai. Now let's come back to winning the country. I do find it interesting when we say, when the Taliban say that the country has been won from the occupation, do you think it's not an economic occupation, that the country is still struggling? As Samira said, that the people are still under debt, that people are still struggling to find a loaf of bread. Don't you think that's also occupation? Don't we think that country is still being droned, that is also occupation? The fact that people cannot enter and leave, and most importantly, that the Taliban government has still to ask the same superpowers who kept on bombing them for money that they need, and they keep on asking for legitimacy. So when you're free, you make your own decisions. When you're not free, you make the decisions that the past two governments did and the current Taliban do under someone else's name and radar.
Let me just share this with you, Ali. This is Abdul Kahar Balki. He is a spokesperson for the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. And these are the gains in the past year: full sovereignty, established central government, political stability, end insecurity, corruption and displacement, amnesty inclusiveness, a fully independent budget, increased access to education and healthcare. I know that you spend time in Afghanistan reporting. Can you check any of these and say, yes, I've seen this, I've seen this, I've seen this?
I mean, I live in Afghanistan, so fully independent budget, I don't know where that comes from because you're still under sanctions. And, you know, what we have to remember is that, yes, these governments want to punish the Taliban government, whom they don't like. Whether the people of Afghanistan like them or not, that's a separate issue. But these foreign governments don't like them. But unfortunately, what's happening is it's not Mr. Shaheen, it's not Mr. Balkhi, it's not these people who are suffering under the sanctions. It's the average people of this country. I live in a central part of this city. Every single day, 5 minutes from my house, there's two food distribution sites. There's at least 100 people outside each time. These are not the poor beggars. These are not the rural villagers who unfortunately have always been hungry in this country. They're hungry now. They're unemployed now. They're underpaid now. You know, I've talked to government workers who are sitting at home, male and female, in Logad and Kabul, who say that their wages have been reduced by 70-80%, and yet, you know, their costs have skyrocketed because the costs of food have doubled and tripled recently. So, you know, fully financially independent, that makes no sense. There's no proof of that. I mean, I hope that they can become financially independent, and I want nothing more than that for Afghanistan to finally become financially independent. And as Pashtuna said, you know, we have to remember that, you know, this occupation was never set up to make us, it was never set up to help us, and it was never set up to make us self-sufficient. For 20 years, they made us aid dependent, and now they're making us aid dependent again by constantly sending money and distributions and so on and so forth that the United Nations controls. The government doesn't control it. So, no, I'm sorry, like, this financially, fully financially independent, I have no idea where that comes from. That's not the lives of the Afghan people.
So, Hill, our audience on YouTube are asking questions, and they really like the idea that they have access to you and to your information. They are asking about an economic plan for Afghanistan. What is that economic plan?
First, our budget, which we presented, it was based on our internal revenues. It is the first time we presented a budget without any help, financial help from any country.
But there's still a shortfall.
And A1, we allocated about 28 billion Afghanis for development projects. So this is an achievement. Similarly, we have short and long-term plans, development plan, reconstruction plan. And the plan are Afghanistan to be self-reliant.
I
have a question.
Pashtuna, you go first, and Ali, you go second.
So how can Afghanistan become self-reliant without having its 50% of population working? And what do you mean by development? It's not something that I would want to explore in the long run, but I really need to understand how the Taliban see development, that being first. And the second, when women are at home, when they're not allowed to work or study, how do you see that Afghanistan will become self-reliant when we have to ask Pakistan or Iran for doctors?
Okay. That's wrong, to asking Pakistan and Iran to doctor. That is an accusation of the opponents. We have heard this for the last 20 years. Give me time and I will explain. Yes. We have, as I mentioned, the Kushtipa project. It is a step in the direction to become self-reliant.
All right, Sahil, can I push you a little bit further?
We have to move on.
There's something that Pashtuna asked, and which I thought was very relevant, because you talked about that project, and I understand what you're saying. But Pashtuna was very specific about how can Afghanistan move forward if 50% of the population, i.e. women, are not able to freely work?
Yes, she doesn't reflect the ground realities, because there is about 450,000 students, both male and female, studying in private and public universities. She didn't mention that.
Let me share the conversation with Ali. Thank you, Sahil. Everyone wants to talk to you. You're the man of the moment. Ali, go ahead. What did you want to ask?
We keep talking about reconstruction and rebuilding. Why do we need to reconstruct? What happened that we need to reconstruct things? How did it get deconstructed?
We have started construction, as I said, the Kajiki Dam. It was 50 megawatt.
My question is, we're talking about reconstruction and rebuilding. How did things get deconstructed? How did they get destroyed that they need to be reconstructed now? That's my question.
Yes, that was destroyed by the bombardment, by the heavy weapons of the Kabul regime and the invaders, because we didn't have heavy weapons. We had Kalashnikov and very light weapons. We were not able to destroy
them. But suicide bombings didn't cause destruction?
They destroyed that with that, but now we are building it.
All right.
And we will
build it with our natural resources.
With what we have, we will build it. We have started the building. And the work on road from Kandahar in Herat will begin. The railway line from Uzbekistan to Turkham is in the pipeline to begin.
And
extraction
Ali,
of mines have already begun. So
thank
these
you,
are the work.
Thank you, Ali. I'm going to push on because our audience also wants us to move on because they're asking for development and what and the way forward and the future for Afghanistan. I'm going to go to that line of thinking via Heather Barr, who is calling on the international community for more help. Here's Heather.
The last year has been a complete disaster for human rights in Afghanistan. Women and girls have seen pretty much all of their rights stripped away. And that's not all. There's also been extrajudicial killings, torture, silencing of the Afghan media. So we're asking, what is the international community going to do about this? And this, the answer so far seems to be not much. But there are a few things the international community can do and should do. The Human Rights Council, when it convenes in September, should put in place a much stronger mechanism to monitor, collect evidence, and facilitate prosecutions for crimes happening. And the Security Council should end exemptions to the travel ban that they have in place for Taliban leaders.
Ashana, I'm just thinking about this past year for Afghanistan and the international community on the sidelines. How do you see their impact and what could be possible?
I think starting with the fact that the international community still thinks that using last century sanctions on a current country's crisis is something that they should be doing, and that's something that will find a solution. I don't think right now that the current sanctions help anyone, but the Western countries to keep the aid to themselves that is allocated to Afghanistan. The country right now is suffering, and the sanctions don't help Afghanistan. It actually makes it worse for the people who are actually already hungry, who are already suffering right now. Coming back to one thing that I really want to highlight, when you talk about development, when you talk about progress, here's the thing. In the next 5 years, the population of Afghanistan continues to grow. And when you say that you have 400,000 students in schools and in universities, I am asking a specific question from grade 7 up until grade 12. If you don't have a girl graduating from grade 12 within this academic year, you won't have a midwife within the next 2 years. And the population continues to grow. So when your population continues to grow, you don't have that specific number of midwives in a country that's war-torn like Afghanistan. You don't progress. You don't develop. You need to build the capacity of your students who are in high schools, who need to continue, who need to graduate from high school and start continuing and getting educated. That was my question. Thank you.
Yeah. You didn't mention private high schools all over the country, they are open for girls for secondary.
But then why
are open? There is There is no restriction on them. Why you didn't mention that? These are why you are hiding the ground realities. Why you are hiding the ground realities?
We are going around in circles. Pashtana, I'm not sure you're going to get an answer.
Sahil should interrupt me because I'm not interrupting them. They should not.
I understand. I'm not interrupting you. I'm moving us. I'm moving our question. I'm moving our program on. We have a few more minutes to go.
In 13 provinces of Afghanistan, there are the secondary schools are open. Why she didn't mention that?
All right, Sahil, Pashtana, we are moving on. Thank you. So much about what has not happened in Afghanistan is in our conversation right now, but I'm going to move on to what has happened. There is a province called Bamyan province. Ali, can you tell us a little bit about it before I bring in a report that you did about tourism potentially flourishing there? Because this is perhaps how some of the economy for Afghanistan can be reinvigorated. It may be showing that there's a little bit more security around as well, if people are going on visits, going on trips, maybe even going on vacation. Ali, tell us about Bamyan province in just a minute, and then I will go to your report.
Sure. It's not just Bamyan. It's many different provinces. Mm-hmm. You know, for 20 years, the roads were unsafe because of checkpoints and landmines and crossfire and things like that. So people weren't able to travel freely. Like just 2 days ago, I went to Logar province for a story with no worries. At one point, it was one of the most dangerous provinces in the country. And, you know, we have to give credit. This is one of the positive developments. Of course, part of the positive development is that the war is no longer going on. The checkpoints are no longer there and the risk of landmines are no longer there.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is something that gives people a sense of hope. Seeing families travel, seeing them be able to see their country for once.
I love this report. I really love this report because I saw blue skies, ocean, water, kids having a great time. Here's a little bit of Ali's report, and it's a scene from Afghanistan that we don't see often enough. Take a look.
This is what a semblance of peace and security looks like in Afghanistan. Thousands of families coming from all over the country to enjoy the wonders of Banda Amir National Park. But the big question now is, how will all of this impact the economy of Bamyan, a province that was ignored for more than 20 years by the former government?
I am wondering, guess, if sanctions on Afghanistan is the one weight that is stopping Afghanistan from moving forward. I know you're all going to have different perspectives, but I'm just going to get you to, I'm going to give you 1 minute each to wrap up the show. Ali, is it the sanctions that's stopping Afghanistan from developing?
It's the biggest issue. Look, for the Afghan people, the biggest issue for them right now is that they have no money. You know, like people who work in the government, including women, have had their wages reduced. Because the government doesn't have money. It cannot pay people. You know, we lived in a country where for 20 years, 75% of the public expenditure came from these foreign aid grants. And then all of a sudden they cut them off. And what did they do? They left the people hungry. Yeah. Even if the Taliban government does want to do things for the people, it's going to be difficult.
All right, let me just share the final thoughts with Pashtana as well. Pashtana, in two sentences, go ahead.
I think sanctions don't help our country, but also Taliban have to make sure that they ensure rights and safety to all the population of Afghanistan. And in the meantime, sanctions don't help. I think sanctions should be lifted.
Thank you, definitely. Pashtana. Sahil, you get the last word. Thank you for being in this robust conversation. Sanctions, in a sentence?
Yes, it's a fact that the sanctions preventing Afghanistan from development and preventing people to have a normal life, to have job opportunities.
All right. Sahil,
they should reconsider.
Thank you. Sahil, we have to get you back. You've been so popular with our online audience. They have so many questions for you that we have to get you back for another episode of The Stream. But for now, Sahil, Pashtana and Ali, thank you so much for being part of today's show. Let me show you here on my laptop where you can follow them on Twitter. Sahil, Pashtana and Ali. Thanks for watching, everybody. See you next time. We'll